Hi, my name is Dongsu Park, and I'm going to talk about KubeSpawn, a tool to manage Kubernetes cluster on Linux host. I work at Kenfork. I recently joined Kenfork, and we are a team building Linux foundational technologies. KubeSpawn is a tool to manage multi-node Kubernetes cluster on Linux host, so you can create Kubernetes cluster in an efficient way on your laptop or on your local host, anywhere you want if you have installed recent Linux distros. And this project is completely based on open source projects. For example, for bootstrapping each node, we make use of kubeadm, which is a command line tool to bootstrap a master node and to allow worker nodes to join the master node very fast and efficiently. And to launch each node, we make use of systemd nspawn, which is a core building block for running Linux containers. So this is also used in Rocket or any other container runtimes, but we just launch systemd nspawn directly from the host. And for each instance, as a building base image for each instance, we use Chorus Container Linux, which is a very minimal Linux operating system distros. So maybe you can see the usage on other cloud providers, but we just download the image and use this as a base of the container. For running KubeSpawn, you maybe need to have systemd installed. Actually, version 2.33, which is a little newer than the most distros, but fortunately, recently, Fedora 26 and Ubuntu 17.10 include the version, the newest version, so you can just use these distros. And KubeSpawn also relies on Kubernetes 1.7 or newer. 1.8 is actually the most recent version, and we also support that. Also, you need to install these utilities, for example, Camo image or ButterFS Procs, libsc Linux utils, which is needed for ensuring requirements and bootstrapping. Most important features of KubeSpawn is actually we heavily makes use of systemd, so systemd nspawn and machined. Nspawn is, of course, used as a launching containers, and machined is used as a managing storage pool under varlib kubespawn directory on your host. And we support multiple container runtimes, so not only Docker, but also Rocket, and maybe in the future we would also support CRIO. Maybe you would think about other related similar projects, for example, Minikube or KOps, but Minikube is a little different that it launches a single virtual machine, whereas KubeSpawn launches containers, so no virtual machine. Minikube also works on a single node, but KubeSpawn actually, in theory, can run multiple instances up to dozens of nodes. KOps is actually just a tool that works on cloud providers, for example, AWS or Azure. So it's a little different from KubeSpawn, because KubeSpawn just runs on your local host. So as an just a simple overview, I would so express this example. You want to launch three node clusters. One node is a master and the other two nodes are worker nodes. So if you run Kubespun with a node number three, then you can just run systemd nspun three times. So node zero as a master node and node one and two as workers. And then on the master node, kubeadm init command will run to launch the kubelets and the required container runtimes automatically. Then the pods, Kubernetes pods that you want to run will just run automatically. And on the other nodes, for example, worker node one, kubeadm join command will run, then the node one will be automatically be joined to node zero with the help of automatically generated token. This is just done by kubeadm. And yeah, these pods are just simply visible from your host. So I'm going to do a demo. Maybe it can take some time, so I need to start the demo right now. So for example, I created a shell script here, create and start. For example, create runs simply kubespun with container runtime Docker and the number of nodes that you want to run. Actually, I like to run Rocket, not Docker, but maybe you have heard yesterday of the talk by Iago, my colleague. So he already presented the kubespun with the Rocker. So I'm going to just run Docker this time. So I run it. Then simply this configuration is automatically generated under our directory. You can see just directly. Then you can see this configuration file, for example. I'm going to look over later. And for each machine, you can see each rootfs is created here. So I'm going to just start here. Then first I need to show the script. It's just a simple wrapper for running start command that it launches actually systemd nspun container three times. And after that, on each node, it runs kubeadm command. This is an init command on the master node. In this phase, it will take 1 or 2 minutes. Behind the scene, you can see, for example, each machine is running and IP address is visible in this list command, and you can see, for example, on the master node, okay, Docker is running. You can see it, but I'm going to go there. Yeah, Docker PS commands runs fine. And it will take some time until the API server is actually running. I'm going to look into that. Yeah, it's running. Yes, nodes are already ready, then outside of the container, you can see the nodes ready and the paths already. Yeah, scheduler is still pending. Maybe it will take some time. Also, for worker nodes, you can see, yeah, it's running fine. I'm going to watch it. Yes, every pod is running right now, so we can just simply deploy an example pod for demo. This is called SockShop, and you can just download the demo YAML file from GitHub repository. And for that, I need to create a namespace for the SockShop. Yes, it's created. And I'm going to apply complete demo file. Yes, it's created. And now it will take some time until the pods are ready. For example, I need to give SockShop namespace. Oh, it's really fast. It's already running. Then to confirm that it's actually running as a web service, you can see the IP address. 10:20:09. Oh, sorry. Yes, it's running. Some parts are not visible right now, but yeah, frontend is already ready. This is just an example about how to launch the cluster, and you can deploy any pod you want to run. And I'm going to go back to the cluster, and I'm going to stop all node nodes. Then you can see no machine is running. So everything is stopped. But stop means just stopping the machine. So the profile you created already remains and is not deleted anywhere. If you want to permanently delete everything under that, then you can just destroy, for example. Yes. Okay, you can ignore the comment because it was already removed. So nothing is there. You can see everything is destroyed. That's all for my demo. So as we already saw, our command line interface is composed of these four different commands: create, start, and stop and destroy. This is very basic and intuitive, so you can imagine what does each command mean. For example, create generates the environment for a cluster and stores every persistent information under varlib kubespawn, and actually start command launches the cluster, as we have already seen. And stop is just a wrapper for machine control power off and removing the images. And destroy is a command for destroying the profiles completely. Yes, for example, the cluster definition format is defined under varlib kubespun default profile. You can see each possible options in this configuration file. This is actually not intended for users to directly modify. It's automatically generated, and you don't have to care about the details. There are several integration issues while we develop kubespun. So actually, kubespun is a tool that heavily relies on Kubernetes, and actually kubeadm and kubelet are core parts of kubespun. So if anything changes in kubelet or kubeadm, then we need to change again. Actually, that's one of the pain points. For example, in kubelet, recently they introduced a new option, fail swap on equal false, which means if you have swap enabled in your host, then you cannot run kubelet. So unless you specify this option. This, I think it's not intuitive option, but we don't have no choice. We need to specify it explicitly. The other thing is Kubernetes version command line option. In the previous version of Kubernetes, the Kubernetes version option, only this one was available, but in the recent versions, Kubernetes version, the second one in kubeadm YML file, and in some versions, it was not possible to mix these things. Recently, it was allowed again. So this kind of not so interesting topics, but yeah, we need to deal with it. Another thing is about the machinedy. Actually, systemd machinedy heavily makes use of butterfs for storage pool. For example, if your host file system is X4, then the systemd machinedy automatically creates a varlib machines.raw file as a storage pool file, which is mounted as a loopback file system. Then inside that storage pool, butterfs file system is automatically created. And this is just done automatically. In most cases, it's working. But sometimes after downloading and extracting OS images, the butterfs file system becomes just full. Actually, I have no idea about how to deal with this problem ideally, so we just decided to enlarge storage pool 20% more to the space, but it's not actually ideal. Yeah, this is a topic that belongs to our to-do list. Another thing is, so you initially run the cluster, right? Then each container has free space of several hundred megabytes. This is actually determined by container Linux, but it's not much free space. So if you deploy Kubernetes apps more and more, then varlib partition becomes full easily. So to resolve these issues, we had to mount a host directory from the host to inside containers. Actually, if it's Docker runtime, varlib Docker is mounted from the host. It's working right now, but it's actually not that beautiful solution. Yeah, we need to think about that in the future. And in the container Linux, Socket utility is not included. That's actually intended. Container Linux aims to minimize the size of each image. So Socket is not there. We had a problem with kubelet port forward functionality because that requires Socket utility. So as a workaround, we downloaded the static binary to be inserted into each container. But we already had to check for versions and checksums. So these functionalities are still missing. We have a pending PR written by our colleague Mikhail, but yeah, it's still not merged right now. Yes, as the last information about the links, we already have an open source project GitHub on the GitHub, so you can visit and file an issue if you have any issue. And in August, we released 0.1, but that's actually rewritten. So maybe in a couple of weeks, we will release a next version, 0.2. So you can see the branch directly also. And yeah, we already wrote a blog post on our website, so you can read it and you can watch the video on the blog post. That's it. Thank you very much.